Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you graders and grinders to this Sunday afternoon, well, Sunday evening where you are, edition of the Big Puzzle. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia for the facilities of People's Internet Radio, which is a viewer-funded station. So if you like what we're doing on PIR, reach into your pockets and throw a few dollars into the kitty. I know everybody over here could use it. Thanks for joining in today. And first off, I want to welcome the Canadian Intelligence Services, the RCMP, Revenue Canada, and any other government agents and trolls that are listening into the show today. Welcome to the show. Maybe we can share some information with you guys today. I'm going to try and keep my potty mouth in check today, guys, but well, when I start talking about our government and some of the things I see going on in this country, my blood boils, and literally I have no blood left to boil. I'm joined today by a gentleman who just got information given to me a couple weeks about what he's doing. Stephen Myatt has joined me. He's organized a group which is basically organizing legal action against the Canadian government. And welcome to the show, Stephen. Thanks for taking some time out of your day. Why don't you fill our listeners in exactly what you're doing?
Well, I'm a younger activist in this Patriots movement that's kind of started out in the last couple of years since the Trudeau government took hold. I'm tired of this government. It's treasonous. We have a prime minister who is supporting radicalized Islamic terrorists. He's cutting funding to pensioners, and we have no money for our veterans. These are final straws for me. So now me, myself and a bunch of other activists are trying to put together a class action lawsuit to press charges of treason against this prime minister.
Well, you know, when I really reflect on what he's done here in the last little while, especially with the issues of returning ISIS fighters to Canada, when that story broke to me and I really sat down and read it and understood what the government was saying, to say that there shouldn't be treason charges laid against Justin Trudeau, I think you'd have to have your head in the sand, because any society that's willing to bring people back in that are absolute barbarians, and that's what ISIS fighters are, and tell us he's going to reintegrate them into Canadian society, allow these people to walk free on Canadian streets, and then tab the Canadian taxpayer for reintegration services. This is beyond lunacy, but that's just one example of lunacy across the board we see. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you what, almost 70, 80 years ago, we would never have allowed the Nazis to get away with this. And it's a scary thought, but if Trudeau was in charge back in the 40s, if Hitler said sorry, he probably would have forgiven him. We hunted Nazis till the ends of the earth for their crimes against humanity. And because these guys could prove to be, and I quote, an extraordinary, powerful voice, it's crazy. And nobody seems to be doing anything. Not even the progressive conservatives are actually taking like a real stand against this government. I'm seeing a bit more of the classical liberals. They don't seem to really agree. And what's funny, after all this time, what seems to have triggered them is the new gun laws that they want to put in place. The mere fact that Trudeau wants to bring back people who have committed pedophilia, committed genocide, burnt people in cages, just because someone isn't a part of their views of Islam, you can't integrate people who have an ideology like that. I'm 25 years old, and I'm from Ottawa. Over five of the ISIS fighters, they went to my high school. They were born here, and that ideology was so much stronger than them being born here in the West. You can't integrate people who don't have any respect for what we uphold here in the West. These people should be punished for their crimes against humanity.
I think Justin's actually really shot himself in the foot with this. You know, Canadians are really waking up to what's going on in our government right now. I see it across the board from coast to coast. I see people joining groups and numbers going up in groups every day. Mm-hmm. I see people like you who are taking a really courageous stance against the government, because you know you're going to get attacked. I know you've had threats made against you. But, you know, it's really time now that if we don't put a stop to this, our country is going to fundamentally change. Right. And it's not going to be nice, folks. And this is so in our face now in Canada. I'm just hoping, Stephen, there's enough Canadians with testicles that can stand up and really put an end to this. But it's going to take. What I see, it's sad in our country, Stephen, and I see this a lot as people in my general conversations now with people in coffee shops and people I have conversations with all the time. They know there's something very nefarious going on inside our government. They know that this government is corrupt, but they still don't really know what to do. I hear that a lot. What can I do about it? I'm just one person. You know, I hear this every day. And of course, I integrate thoughts into their mind right away. There is things we can do, folks. Go ahead, Stephen. What you're doing one of them. Go ahead.
Well, I'm in touch with a lot of strong conservative, libertarian, activist patriots in this country. But I can tell you, complacency is a disease in Canada. Everybody wants someone else to do it. Everybody wants someone else to fix the problem. Everybody here thinks, it will never happen here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's accurate.
Yeah, we've got to break through that stigma.
That's condemning the next generation. I've done a bit of like online blogging before I took on this huge project. And I walked around my hometown in Ottawa, and I asked people, it's on YouTube if anybody wants to look it up, and I asked people, what do you think of Justin Trudeau saying that ISIS needs to be punished for their crimes? Yeah, good idea. And I tell them, he didn't say that. This is what he's doing. Oh, people have no idea about the politics in their own country. One out of two people I spoke to, they didn't even know ISIS was back here.
Well, of course, you know the reason why that is, Stephen, is because mainstream media in Canada is just as corrupt as the Canadian government. And until we can get away from that stigma and get people away from actually going to mainstream for information, they're not going to hear about this. Go ahead.
I'm seeing a bit of a change within the last 6 months, especially if you go on Facebook or Twitter to CBC. I call them the communist broadcasting network. And people are saying like, these guys don't actually look like, you know, white supremacists. They look like they're just defending Canada. So there is a bit of an awakening, but it's not strong enough yet. But we got 14 months away to this election.
I've actually in the last couple of weeks noticed a couple of things that CBC brought forward that I didn't actually expect them to bring forward. I also I saw them come out standing against Bill C-71, and CBC actually, I was surprised, but they did a complete breakdown on murders in Canada over the last 100 years and the murder rates.
Yeah.
And the misleading information the government's giving Canadians right now really has to be called out, because the government is telling Canadians that there's a rise in murder rates in Canada. And that is so far from the truth. If you look at the actual numbers, the government is just feeding Canadians another lie to propagate their excuse to pass this absolutely barbaric Bill C-71. That's just one example. If you look at Bill C-75, Bill C-69, M-103, all these legislations that this government has brought in place in the last couple of years are absolutely barbaric. Bill C-75 is one that really, really kind of shocked me, Stephen, and I'm in touch with a lot of people that have cross-references against the Canadian Criminal Code now and what they want to change, and I urge people to really have a good hard look at that, because they've lowered criminal sentences on some of the most heinous crimes in Canada. I mean, what is the rationale? What is the rationale behind this? Mm-hmm. Well, if we put it all together, it's all part of the big puzzle. It is.
Well,
go ahead.
I honestly believe that Canada is the first cornerstone for a globalist state, for this United Nations New World Order. I really do. This government is almost accommodating for I do call them rape cultures that are coming over here. Don't get me wrong, there's some genuine people out there who need assistance, who need help, people who are actually facing genocide, but not these people. These people will never assimilate to what the West has fought for, the West has strived for. Pedophilia is also one of the crimes where punishment is going to be reduced. That's insane. We're talking about the well-being of children, Canadian children.
Well, not only that, if you're a convicted sex offender now, you walk out of prison, you can now go hang out at the playground, or you can go to a public pool and hang out. You know, that was just removed. That was in place under the Conservative government, that there is restrictions on where they could go, because we know why they go there.
Yeah,
and they just removed that. Well, what's the rationale?
Well, now in Ontario, we call them pedosexuals. It's a lifestyle choice.
We're seeing that propagated all over the place, buddy. We're seeing pedophilia being propped up all around the globe. And this is just one of the biggest scourges I see rising in society. People really got to cut the head off this snake real quick, because it's everywhere.
Absolutely.
Now. So, same thing with Soji 123 in British Columbia here. I'm involved with lots of groups that are standing against that. And we see that with Bill C-89 in Ontario. Absolute crap what they're trying to put into the minds of our young people. Then I read an article about two grade fours, and this is rude to say on the radio, but I just read a report of two grade four people or children practicing sodomy on each other. And I read this and I went, what? No, if that doesn't make you sick to your stomach, that these ideas are being put into our children's head, and these children are actually acting out at it, of course they're going to, buddy. Any child at the age of 6, 7, 8, 9 years old is at the most impressionable time in their life. And I remember, Stephen, when I grew up, you know, I kind of worshipped my teacher. You know, the teacher was it. That's what he said was truth. They're not there to put crap in your mind. And that's the way teaching was back then. But now, of course, if you worship your teacher and your teacher's up there demonstrating to a child at 9 years old how to use a dildo, where does that fit into our society? And really, what's going on? And it's really part of a very, very deep rabbit hole. Really deep.
Why does someone who still plays with sticks and stones and imagines dragons in the backyard need to worry about anal sex?
Exactly. It doesn't even enter a child's mind until, I mean, all this crap going on, buddy. I mean, it's what transgender, gender identity, taking Mr. and Mrs. out of our social structure, all an attack on the family structure. And that's the bottom line of exactly what we see. Of course, you know, Steve, if you've done any history research, and I believe you studied history, you know, any time in society, a family has been destroyed in that society, the society will and has to fall apart because it's the cornerstone of our society. And it is under direct attack from multiple avenues. And we haven't even talked about many things we could talk about. But yeah, I really, you know, I urge people, people like you, I'm going to support you and put you out everywhere I can and get the word out, because this really is a way that we can even, you know what, I thought about this the other day, Stephen. I said, you know what, I love this idea, I'm going to support it, but even if it was to fizzle, if it wasn't really to garnish national attention, it will garnish attention from some people. And once people start going down the rabbit hole, and if they've got any kind of, like I said, testicles in Canada, their blood will start to boil. And what we need to do really right now is just educate the masses is exactly what's going on behind the scenes in our government. And I think this will go a long way to doing that. Go ahead.
Well, we were entering a communist state almost. And the people have forgotten just how powerful their voice can be. Don't ask for change, be the change. You know, as corny as that sounds, the people have forgotten that the government isn't there to watch you. You're there to watch them. It's us, the people, the taxman, who is the employer, and they are the employed, something that we have forgotten. And it's time to remind our politicians and get some blue-collar representatives in there that we're in charge, not them.
Okay, well,
if I had enough, big enough of a movement, I would tell them all, don't file your taxes. Second where it hurts.
There's a really large movement of Canadians now that are sending noses off to the government that they're just going to refuse to pay income tax. And you know what I thought about that? Boy, if we could get a nationwide movement like that going, Stephen, if people knew simply by making this statement to the government, we could literally cripple the government in a very short period of time. We could bring the operation to its knees. Then we could really make an impact on the government. And they can't put us all in jail, Stephen, if it was 100,000 Canadians that made this statement. And if 100 other thousand Canadians agreed, we could get 1 million Canadians going, hey, until this changes, we ain't paying you. Because we're paying them just to up our butt, right?
Yeah.
You're right. People have got away from the concept of government working for you, and we work for the government. And, of course, they use multiple avenues of fear in society to keep that false narrative in place. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I want to see it go back to the pre-World War II tax system. So, you know, a lot of people don't know that the extra taxes was implemented to help fund the war, and the government said, "Wow, you know, we're making a pretty penny. We're just not gonna put it back to the way it was." There's so much corruption in this government. Even some of the conservatives I find are part of this globalist scheme. Trudeau's an idiot, but he has a boss, in my opinion. I don't know how much people on here are into conspiracies, but. I will be in BC by Tuesday. I'm going to Vancouver Island, and I will have the letter of intention to give to the Justice of the Peace, to give to the RCMP, to give to the Supreme Court back in Ottawa. And if they want to meet me, they want to sign it. It has to be in ink. This is to show a constitutional lawyer that we have X amount of people who want to see this done. The first time I launched a class action 6 months ago, it was done online. And I had to rebuild the email about three times because it was getting so much in 24 hours, it actually got locked out. I got 22,000 responses in 24 hours. And in the end, the RCMP said that this is no good because online information can be falsified. So my sponsors and my followers are paying for me to be here on the ground in the West to collect the signatures by hand.
And put undeniable evidence in front of the RCMP. Because we talked about ISIS fighters, but what's going on at our border right now is actually an act of treason because our country is being invaded by literally thousands and thousands of people. They're not being vetted properly in any shape or form, so we have no idea who's walking across the border. And by the time the government does get to them, it can be up to 2 years before the government can even deal with them because of the overload of people coming into our country. This is absolute insanity. What's going on at our border. And I can't define it any other way but an act of treason. They're undermining our society in multiple avenues. Go ahead.
Well, I can guarantee you this is Trudeau's way of trying to buy the next election, but I have been to the Quebec border. I have seen it. I have filmed it. I have filmed people walking over. The like 62,000 that they claimed, that's a lie. That's not even close. For almost every decimal in that 62,000, for example, they're not including the wife. They're not including the children. They're given almost one decimal per family. So this is double that number easily. I've seen it in the Manitoba, I've seen it in the Quebec border. And a lot of these people, they're disappearing. They come over, and a lot of them, we don't know where they are.
Well, seeing you've witnessed this firsthand, what cross-section of society are you seeing walking across the border? Are you seeing large? Yeah. Are you seeing young males? Are you seeing multiple families? Is it all families, or is it a lot of young males coming across? What are you seeing?
Majority of them is young men,
of course.
And I'm yet.
I knew the answer. Yeah, I knew the answer to the question before I answered it because I've looked into this. So if that doesn't really kind of get people wondering what the heck's going on, now how many of these people that actually walk into the country are employed in their first year of being here? Do you know the number on that? Because I looked it up. Well, go ahead and share it. And if that doesn't wake you up, folks, every one of these people that are coming into Canada, they're all being put on welfare. They're getting more money than Canadians get. And our veterans are fighting the government for a dollar in court. But tell them the number. As I look at it.
Well, our veterans are simply asking for more than they can give right now.
Yeah. But wait a second. Hold on. Wait a second. Didn't he give $10.5 million to a convicted terrorist that killed an American citizen?
Yes, he did. Second. But a Canadian is a Canadian is a Canadian, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, what about all the civil rights violations the Canadian government has performed on Canadian citizens over the last 100 years? Let's bring all that to court. We'd bankrupt the government. You can't pick and choose civil liberty violations, but that's exactly what the government did. And they have Trudeau up there trying to justify. I'm at a point now, you know, honestly, Stephen, I have a harder time listening to Trudeau. I actually find myself getting violently ill. And that might sound corny, but I do. I actually get violently ill when I hear him talk. But I'm forcing myself to talk to him because I want to know what my enemy's saying. But a lot of people seem to share that same opinion with me at this point. A lot of Canadians are just outraged, buddy, and we're all looking for an avenue to fight back against this government. And what we're talking about today is just a few of them. There's lots of other ways we can do it. And I think people really now have to spend their time instead of watching hockey, because who cares who won the hockey game last night when the future of our country is very, very much at stake right now. Spend some time on the internet and come up with a few ideas of your own. Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, for those who doubt what us activists have to say, this job doesn't pay. I can guarantee you that. I've given up a lot for this cause. We are not taking time out of our lives to just bloat our mouths. You know, if you got to see it to believe it, look it up. The evidence is out there. We're out there, boots on the ground, getting these images, getting these videos, talking to these people. This stuff is real. I'm from the East. Anybody here listening from the West, it's coming to you. This is all coming to you. Fort McMurray, for example, I was up there a couple days ago to meet with the patriotic dad. and a couple of my contacts for the constitutional class action that we're doing. And one out of two people I was speaking to, this is people just walking around. They say it was an Islamic attack. Mm-hmm. 20,000 people are not returning to Fort McMurray. That's a fact. So why are they rebuilding all these neighborhoods? They've turned semi-duplexes into apartment styles. So three levels, mm-hmm. basement, mm-hmm. middle, top, which can accommodate up to 20 families. What are they building it for?
Right, and they're building also what the large, what's going on in Fort McMurray.
Yeah, the largest mosque in North America is being constructed there. Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, and ISIS made it very clear, you want to hurt the West, burn down their forests, smoke them out, cleanse the land. This isn't propaganda. They said it, like it's in their videos. And there's a couple of guys that I spoke to at the local Tim Hortons, and you can't go to this part of the bush anymore in Fort Mac. But the white, the earth is scorched with white powder. And you only get that when it's caused by gasoline.
Hmm. To say that wasn't fanned, that fire burned faster and hotter than most firefighters that I talked to involved in it, than any fire they've seen in their life. It was an incredible fire. And of course, now we see the agenda behind it and probably why Trudeau didn't go up there for about a week after it happened. I know we see that happening. I've been following that actually pretty closely. I have a friend in Fort St. John who's really been kind of looking into it a lot lately. He's an activist and he's been kind of sharing some information with me lately that really Canadians really have to wake up to what is going on. Because we still have a window of opportunity now, but boy, I'll tell you, pretty soon, the way the attack on free speech is happening in this country, we're going to be shut down in the very near future. I believe that. We see it now. And that scares me to the core, buddy. And I you know, young guys like you, I just wish that 100,000 other young Canadians right now would wake up and start doing what you're doing. Because it really is the young generation that can make the generation or make the difference right now. The millennials are starting to wake up. The millennials are starting to wake up, though, Stephen. Go ahead.
Yes, no, absolutely. There's not many of us young guys in this game, but it's growing. I'm definitely reaching a few more people, but not the numbers that I wish to wake up. Because this is going to be your problem. Like everybody's so concerned with today, me. You got to worry about tomorrow, 10 years from now. If you don't have freedom of speech, you don't have much after that. You don't have a right to defend yourself. You don't have much. When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty.
You know, I'm 63 years old now, Stephen, and I never thought in my lifetime I'd be having this kind of conversation with somebody like you right now. I never really thought that this would come to Canada, but it's fear. It's right on our doorstep right now. It is. Yeah. And it's just going to get worse. I mean, like I said, if you think it's bad now, give these guys a week and see what they do. All we can do right now, Stephen, is, well, like I said, what you're doing right now is critical. Even though you don't see the numbers that you want to see, I believe Canadians now are really starting to pay attention. And I think very near future here, when it really starts to impact people's lives, they'll pay a little bit more attention. We're going to see some pretty crazy things happen here in the next couple months with this government. The more they're attacked, the more they're going to push back, the more crazy stuff they're going to bring out. Go ahead.
Well, Canada and her short but great history is at the crossroads of history politically. And this election, people need to make a choice if it's patriotism or globalism.
Yeah, what are globalism, your,
carry on.
Go ahead. What are your thoughts on Doug Ford, Stephen?
Oh, he's got my vote already.
I'll say it right out first. Before you go any farther, okay, I'm going to let you talk on him for a second, okay, because I really respect your opinion on him. You know, when I listen to politicians all my life, I've heard politicians and they lie. But I watch this man talk. I watch how he interacts with people. I watch his heart. And for the first time in my life, I believe this guy is the real deal. He's not just up there propagating bullcrap to get elected. That he is truly, truly appalled by what he's seen happen by the Liberal government and the Liberal power in Ontario in the last 15 years. Why Ontario now is the worst debtor state what in the world now? Unbelievable. The manufacturing industry in Ontario has been destroyed. It's just going down the tubes. And everything he says so far, with the exception of a few things, really hits me right. It resonates with me. So I'm just praying that he is the real deal. What do you think?
I've seen some of the Mel Romans.
I got to say that, Stephen, because I've known so many politicians. But go ahead.
I've seen some of the Mel Roney voters saying that they're going to go NDP. Jesus Christ, don't even vote if that's what you're going to do. A lot of these people are saying that he's a white supremacist, a white nationalist, and they're trying so hard to affiliate Donald Trump's Make America Great Again status with Doug Ford. Don't even mix the two up. There's nothing to do with each other because of one man who had a hat at one of the conservative conventions that said, Make Ontario Great Again. So they're affiliating all the American politics with Doug Ford. I mean, there was a because our election is in 2 months' time, and Kathleen Wynne was speaking, so was the NDP, and so was Green Party. Doug Ford was not invited to speak at this event. And it was rough. it was completely blocked off for conservatives. They don't want him to speak. And there's even the local anti-fascists. They're called the ungovernables now in Hamilton and Toronto. They're putting up flyers saying, kill white nationalism, don't vote for Doug Ford. Stupid. Toronto is 30% white. 30% white. Mm. You're telling me that Rob Ford and his brother were able to swing the election on 30% white people under the thought of white nationalism?
I was looking at the numbers for his ratings right now in Toronto, and what I'm seeing right now, he's going to take the $4, and she is beyond versus the division when she's attacking Doug Ford. But if you look at Kathleen Wynne's record, her politics are nothing but division. Period.
Well, she was
anybody who would bring in any government that would bring in Bill C-89, people, you really got to look at that and then tell me what you think of this government. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, recently quoted saying I love how they call university gatherings town hall meetings because university kids pay the tax dollar, right? Mm. But she was recently quoted saying, you know, you got to get out and vote, or some old white person like me is going to vote for conservative. and there's pictures of her sitting at mosque with her hijab on at the back. I mean, it's insulting to people who actually choose to be gay because Islam will never accept homosexuality. Let's be real here. It's insulting. You're embracing your own destruction and demise.
Okay, I'll try not to breathe. Ed's telling me you can hear me breathing, guys. If you can, it's because I got a real sensitive mic, okay? go ahead, Stephen. Didn't mean to interrupt you there. But yeah, no, just take a look at Justin Trudeau. Look at Pierre Elliott Trudeau. When I, you know, before the Justin, when he started running for prime minister, Stephen, I know about Pierre Elliott, and I've studied him. I know the organizations that he was involved in. He was globalist to the core, and he was the one that started the multicultural experiment in Canada. And what we see today, you know, you say the Toronto's 30% white. Well, I'll bet you when I was 10 years old, that number would have been, honestly thinking back, more like 60% white in Toronto because I was born and raised in Toronto. I stayed in Toronto until I was 18 years old and somebody told me to go west, so I did. But I remember growing up in Toronto, I could walk the streets for three blocks around my house. My parents didn't worry about me getting attacked or raped or beaten up. It was totally different. Now I look at Toronto and you're not safe to walk the streets in Toronto anymore, especially some areas of Toronto. And that's sad, but it's what's happened to our country. So what we find now is multicultures in our society that really, sure, I mean, there is a wide variety of cultures that are supporting Doug Ford, but in reality, you have multicultures in Canada with ideologies that some of them will never assimilate to Canadian culture. And that is one of the major undermining effects in our society right now that I see. Mm-hmm. People's inability to get together because of the infighting amongst our groups. Go ahead.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Well, ironically enough, it was Pierre who said all traitors should hang by the neck until dead.
Well, when they hang Justin, I'm going to supply the rope because I'm going to supply a hemp rope. So I know it will not break. How's that?
it should be very interesting the way that this all turns out. I already know that the likelihood of a class action is slim. It is slim. But there's still a chance that it can work, and I'm full for that victory. Absolutely. Even if, like, say, hypothetically speaking, Trudeau gets elected out, I don't care if he's out of power. I still want him charged, whether it takes 1 or 2 years. But we also have a plus with doing this. We can destroy him in the media. I want every heckler in that room at his town hall meetings, quote, to say, why is blah, blah, blah charging you with treason?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying earlier in the show. Even if this doesn't get off the ground, you are what you're doing right now, just traveling around and talking to people. You know, the ripple effect, I hope, really comes in our society where people get to a point where they've had enough and they come to a point where they decide they're going to do something about it. And simply by talking with other people and opening up your heart to them and really look them in the eye and say, hey, you know, if you don't get involved in this right now, and I use this phrase a lot, and it might sound corny, but I feel it's really true, is that, you know, your children are going to curse you. Because, like I said, most people now in Canada, even though they won't deeply admit it, know there's something really messed up in our government, and yet they continue not to do anything about it. And I say, shame on you if that's your position. Because, if you don't, and things are going to change, and we're going to hate it. And by the time it does change, it might be too late to reverse what's going on. So we're into the fight right now, Stephen. I believe that we don't have 10 years to put an end to what's going on right now. We don't have 5 years to put an end to what's coming on right now. It's now or never. So, we do. So, you know, if anything, maybe you'll inspire a few other people to get involved here today and look at the legalities of what the government's doing, because there is so much treason inside our government. We haven't even talked about multiple issues that we could talk about. And the next hour, I do have Frank Vaughn coming on next hour, and I know you've listened to some of his videos, and I'm looking forward to having a chat with him, because he is an incredible journalist and he does the research. He was the one that really brought to my attention the irregularities or what's going on with Bill C-75. I'm going to tell you something, Stephen, that had an incredible, you know, we ask ourselves what we can do. Well, this week I went and I got the list of the new changes to our criminal code as opposed to the existing criminal code. And there were some legal people that got involved with Frank, and they actually cross-referenced the list and made sure that everything was accurate. So I made a copy of that list. I went down to Staples and I printed out 500 copies of it. And I went around in public and I handed it out. And people, I could see people sitting there reading it. And at the top of the paper, I went, all information on this page is 100% factual, and I listed 3 sites where they could actually go and do the information themselves, do the cross-referencing to see what the existing code called for on offenses and what the government's proposing under Bill C-75. Now, when you sit down and look at the list, and you've looked at it, and you know what I'm going to come to right now, is that every offense on this list, some of them are those grievous offenses in our society. And I'm going to get Frank to run it over real quick next hour, because he can break it down a lot faster than I can. But every one of these offenses are some of the most grievous offenses in our society. And we see the government reducing sentences across the board. Not just 1 or 2, but I would say on the list there's probably 30 what I would call major grievous offenses, and every one of these has had their sentences reduced. So one really has to ask themselves a question. And then if you focus on what these offenses are, and I'm going to get Frank next hour to break this down, but you'll see that these offenses really relate to immigrants and Sharia law.
Yes.
And that's the bottom line. That's what it breaks down to, i.e. marriage under the age of 16 years, harboring a terrorist, producing explosives. Multiple terrorist offenses have had their sentences, some of them reduced to a summary conviction. So in other words, if you've got a pro-left judge in the court, he can pull you into court. You could get charged for kidnapping, believe it or not, folks, in Canada, and walk out of court without a jail sentence. Does that not kind of grab you? Go ahead, Stephen. That's just one of the offenses. That's just one of them. I just fell off my chair, buddy. But then in San Marcos, I'm not, because I expect this from the Liberals. Go ahead. I have a bit of a rasp in my voice today, so I have to excuse me.
That I want to bring up when it comes to the Liberal government. Look at M103, the Islamophobia motion. Now that it's gone through, we tried to warn people about this, and now if you are caught questioning or disagreeing for freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom to offend, Islam, anything, you could go to jail and be put into a therapeutic program to have you think differently. There was also the 35 foreign entities and nations that was hidden in the recent budget balance plan, where he sold our tax information. That's including your sin. That's including your history. You ever declare bankruptcy? The Chinese government knows about it. That's illegal, and no one is doing anything. I see Michelle Rempel making a bit of a stink, but nowhere close to what I want. Andrew Scheer really has got to take off the baby face, maybe grow some fuzz, and actually start fighting back.
Yeah, I see him just kind of scratching the surface. That's what I see him doing. I've listened to him talk a lot, and he'll bring up some issues, but when it gets down to the real heart of it, he kind of backs off. So it really kind of shows you what's in his heart.
Well, but he's him and then the other Tories are playing with a whole new playground. Trudeau has taken over the play structure, and if any wind, I swear to God, it will happen soon, where Trudeau will point across to the opposition and say, Islamophobia.
He's done it already. He's already accused the Conservatives of being Islamophobic in the House of Commons, in question period. He's used that term. I mean, Islamophobia didn't exist in our society prior to 1972. It wasn't in our dictionaries in the 60s and 50s. It was a word implemented. We all know the history of it, why it was brought into our society, and how effective a tool it's become. We know the Muslim Brotherhood's behind it. We see now candidates running in Mississauga, Ontario, with direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. We see our Minister of Immigration with direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and Hamas. We see the MP that brought forward Motion M103 with direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. We, our whole Senate, our whole House of Commons now, we would have 12 what I would call radicals in our Senate, in our House of Commons. And these people are in great position of power. We could talk about what's his name? I don't have the names in front of me. I had the list. I was going to punch it up. But there's 12 of them now that Trudeau has appointed. And our country's changing quickly, guys. Unbelievable.
Now, I can't quite remember the position that he got, but Omar Khadr's lawyer is now working for the Trudeau government.
Right, I saw that the other day too. He's also purging all conservatives out of natural resources in Canada. They're all being purged. We see other purges going on inside our government. Go ahead.
No, please carry on.
Well, that's just a couple of things that was brought to my attention here in the last week. Man, it's almost overwhelming to try and keep up with what's going on in our government right now. And I'm not the first person to say that. It's like they're throwing so much at us that it's really taking a little time for Canadian people to rally the troops behind what they're doing. And by the time they do, they've got this run through legislator and at the third reading. Some of the stuff that's going on, buddy, I'll tell you. I don't want to say. Well, anyways, the good news is I do see young people waking up. Go ahead.
Back in Ontario, when we were having empty M103 rallies across the whole province, we could barely get people to come out. But when minimum wage went up and Tim Hortons was threatening to fire people, people were threatening boycotts.
Yeah.
If they worked so hard to boycott the government as they did Tim Hortons, we wouldn't have a moral problem in this country.
Well, my friend, I just hope that Canadians can wake up. Because I do see it happening, but I don't see it at the rate that I want to see it to really put a dent into what the government's doing. But we did talk about a couple of things today that, it comes to time in a person's life that you just have to take a stand. And if the government comes and puts me in jail for my stand right now, so be it. I've taken stands against the government right now. They could probably come and put me in jail. They could come after me with income tax because I am an anarchist. I refuse to support the beast that's destroying this country. I just refuse. And I just hope other Canadians can join me, because we really do have to put a stop to this if we want to see the same Canada. You know, like I said, Stephen, I'm 63 now, and I've been all over Canada. I've been to the East Coast, the West Coast. I've been up to the Yukon. I've been up to the Northwest Territories. I've seen a good percentage of Canada, and it is a great country. We are great, great people, good hearts, and very loving, loving people in Canada. And I see this happening right now in Canada, and it is literally, I'm at a point, like I said, I have a hard time sometimes in public even controlling my anger, but I know I can't get mad at people because that'll scare them away, but it's getting difficult, and you probably feel that sometimes yourself, that, you know, people just really have to take their minds off TV. Best thing you can do in your life, folks, is take that TV and throw it out the window. Period. It is. I did that 3 years ago, Stephen. It was the best thing I've ever done in my life, bar none. Cut the wire.
Well, if anybody is listening out there and you feel the same way and you don't have anybody to talk to, you truly are not alone. There's a lot of us now in this movement. Seek me out on Facebook. I will get you connected with people in your area. I've got people in almost every city in this country now. And I'm building these citizens councils and committees to assist with these future projects, keep up this Patriots movement, and assist with a class action lawsuit and keep our people engaged. This can grow, but it's going to take all of us to do it. Like I said, don't ask for change, be the change. People's voice is more powerful than they realize.
You know, I made a couple statements on Facebook here in the last couple of weeks that, you know, one of them is I sit in disbelief in Canadians' inability to stand up against the corruption, tyranny, and treason we see in our government. And I just say to people, man, you just got to get away from mainstream, because you'll never hear the truth on mainstream. And when you start going down the rabbit holes, you'll find out what I'm telling is truth, that nothing out of mainstream is going to be proper, or they will not divulge to you the real information about what's going on in our world. You have to go to alternative sources. And then I say to people, when you go to these alternative sources, vet it. And if people will do that, if you take a couple hours, folks, out of your time, I mean, sure, we're talking to people right now that are, we're probably preaching to the choir to a lot of these people because they are fully aware, but people in Canada, honestly, right now, Stephen, I think if a majority of the people of Canadian, whether you're from whatever part of the world, if you really understood the implications of what's going to come to our society in the very near future, where we're going to experience a complete clampdown on society, that any of the perceived freedoms that we have right now are going to be taken away. And I never thought in my lifetime I'd be able to say that, Stephen, but I think I can honestly say that right now. And that's why I'm here with you, buddy. Go ahead. Yeah. None of us get paid. None of us get paid for this, Stephen. I don't want money. Oh, I don't care about money. Money is just money to me. It's just it's the root of all evil. I have enough money to live on. If I have a roof over my head and food in my stomach, I want for nothing else. Yeah. A new car ain't gonna mean nothing in the very near future. Go ahead.
Well, no, I'm a young fella, and I want a nation similar to the one that I grew up in for my kids. They're not going to have a future. I won't have a future. I'm 25 years old, and I won't have a pension if I even have a home to live in, if the area is not full of no-go zones. Something that people in Europe were saying would never happen. And now London, where my grandparents lived and grew, has 36 Sharia courts, no-go zones, white people being beat up every day. And we don't even talk about the grooming gangs, you know? It's scary what's happening here.
Well, yeah, and plus the media cover-up right now of the sexual assaults that are going on in Canada, the media cover-up of assaults that are going on in high school now by immigrant groups that are getting together. I mean, a lot of this doesn't even hit the news. You know, the guy that drove that truck up in Humboldt, killed those guys, wasn't even apparently had a legitimate license to drive. Now, maybe he had a license to drive certain trucks, but what he was driving, where he was at that particular time of day, he was unqualified. There again, well, there's a complete media quash on that. Now, what have you heard about that? Because I've heard multiple different stories.
Well, from truckers that I've spoken to, you can't drive a vehicle like that until at least a year into your trucking. The fact that he was able to do it in 2 weeks. And I don't know if this is true because it's on the dark web, but apparently he was a border jumper. He wasn't Canadian. He was an immigrant. But the company was new, and these companies are given grant money for every time they hire refugees.
Mm.
And now the
I got to laugh. I got to laugh. Go ahead. Sorry. Didn't mean to laugh. It's so outrageous. I got to laugh about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I laugh and then I feel like crying. It's insane.
Yeah. Well, every once in a while, we got to inject a little bit of humor into this insanity we see right now, because it is insane, Stephen. Like I said, I've seen it ramp up so much here in the last couple of years under this Trudeau government that I don't live in fear. But I'm in fear right now for people that don't know what's going on and what's going to come upon them and how society's going to react when these things
happen. If they're not afraid now, they're going to be. And by that point, it may be too late.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't get to that point, Stephen. We're going to do everything we can. And like I said, I expect, honestly, right now at this point, I expect more attacks from the government. I really do. Because they're going to attack anybody that's speaking against them, any shape or form, anybody that's vocalizing an opinion against the government, I believe will come under multiple attacks here in the very near future. So I've kind of set that aside and said, hey, well, when it happens, it happens. Until that time, they're going to have to put a bullet in me to shut me up. You know, 63, buddy. 63. I don't have that many years left on this planet. I got a lot. I got to be realistic. I got less coming than I had when I started. And if I was to book out tomorrow, well, I've had a pretty good life in this country that I call Canada. But it ain't going to be there for my children. So, come on, guys. If you want to shut me up, come and put a bullet in me. I'll shut up or put me in jail. Whatever else.
I won't do well in a re-education center.
I guess it comes down to, you know what, really, Stephen, it might sound corny, but, you know, are you willing to lay down your life for your children in the future of this country? And I've looked myself in the mirror and said, yeah, I can do that. I mean, what else have you got to leave as a legacy for your children? And that might sound corny, but I'm at the point in my life right now that I would be willing to do that, because I want my children to have an abundant life in Canada. I want them to have freedoms. I don't want them wearing a hijab. I don't want them bending down and being given something they don't want to be given. And that's what's going to happen. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, buddy. I know that sounds kind of cool, but that's exactly what's happening.
It's not. That's reality. I don't want my daughter to have her parts cut off because she's not supposed to feel pleasure during intercourse.
Mm.
I don't want my wife beaten because or raped because her skin was showing on her ankle. That's reality over there, and it's coming here.
I urge people. You know, Stephen, I'll ask 50 people. If you ever sat down and read the Quran and try to understand what they're saying in their cult, and 48 will say no. But I urge people that you really want to get an idea about Islamic radicality, radical Islam is doing in our Western society, then you have to read the Quran and understand what the Quran says. And we don't have time to break it down right now, but that's critical, because you'll understand what's going on.
Well, many people don't know. It's not the religion of peace. It means religion of submission. That's the literal term of Islam, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's two forms of jihad. Mass immigration, which over 90% of them choose to do, or it's war. But the English Quran is very different from the Arabic one. The English one says, fight the non-believer. But the Arabic one is the real version, and it says, kill the kafir, the infidel, the non-believer.
Right. Right. There's multiple references like that in the Quran, and people really have to read it to understand what we're dealing with in our society, how Sharia law is creeping into our society, and what it represents to the future. And if that doesn't wake you up, guys, then you might not have any IQ. I don't know, or you don't have a heart. One of the two.
Yeah, well, whenever I hear someone using white colonialism as why jihadists are rising up, bullshit. Islam has been at war with the world long before white colonialism patriarchy ever existed.
1400 years of history, and if people really want to get their eyes opened up, go look at the history of Islam. Go study it for a couple hours, and it will change your perspective on what is being told to us in Canada by our Islamic leader. And I know they're listening, and I don't care.
Bloomberg.
You hear that, guys? At the other CMP?
No, just YouTube or Google apostates of Islam, people who have left it. And most of them are women. Most of them are women who leave Islam, and they're activists, and they don't get the attention that the news does for people who are trying to mix feminism and Islam. Is sickening. Feminism has been hijacked by radicals, and feminism originally was to make us all equal, not superior to the other.
Exactly.
And now they're trying to mix Islam with feminism. The hijab empowers me. That's like seeing a bunch of black slaves back in the day saying, oh, our chains empower us.
shows you the weapon of mind control and how it works in our society, and
absolutely,
where exactly we are as a society. And that kind of thought process can be implemented into people's brains, and they accept it. You know, I shake my head. But anyways, that's what we're dealing with, unfortunately. And maybe we can reach them. One of the, you know, there's so many good people now in Canada that are really, really garnishing attention. And you know, we could talk about Brian Lilly, we could talk about Kevin Johnson, we could talk about so many people now that are raising the voice of conservatism in Canada, and we see the tide growing. True conservatism is what I'm seeing. I think Canadians now are getting to the point where you and me are, Stephen. A lot of people are realizing that if they don't get involved, it's going to change. I just hope that the numbers accelerate massive, because we got a lot more voices than them. It's a lot more of us than there are them. And one voice is silent, but a million voices is loud.
I'm sorry, I do have to get going, but did you have any other questions for me?
No, I want you to... we're about to go to a break here in about 3 minutes anyway, Stephen. Why don't you just share your information where people can find you on Facebook and other any other avenue of contacting with you and following what you're doing with your efforts?
Yeah, sure. Well, my number is 613-698-0456. Give me a call, text me if you want to learn more or help out. I will go into different parts in BC where I'll be given the letter of intention. I do need a signature, a barren ink signature, to get this done properly. They will not accept a copy of it. They will not accept a online version of it. This has to be in the hand. I will even leave you a copy if you print it out yourself and get your friends to sign it. And when the time comes, I will give you an address to mail it to.
Can you send me a copy of that? Can you send me a copy of that? Let's see. Yeah. Send me a copy of that. Send me a copy of that, Stephen, and I'll dedicate my time to helping this go viral.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, I got to thank you for joining me today, and it's inspiring to have a younger Canadian on my show that really, truly sees the danger in our country right now and is doing everything he can to stem the tide. So thanks again, Stephen, and send me a copy. And folks, please support Stephen if you can. I would urge you to. So we'll go to a break here. Okay, well, we'll go to an early break here for about 5 minutes, guys. And second hour, I have Frank Vaughn joining me, with a Canadian journalist that I have a great deal of respect for. And we'll really hit home on some issues in the next hour. So please stay tuned. And I'll be back in about 5 minutes or so. Thanks again,
okay,
Stephen.
Thank you so much.
We're back. Hey, there you go.
Hi there.
Hey. Hang on, Frank. I'm a little. Hey, guys, thanks for joining us for the second hour here. That was a really cool conversation, the first hour with Stephen, and kudos to that young man for what he's doing. In my searches around the internet, there's lots of guys I listen to, and I ran into Frank Vaughn's videos here about 2 months ago and started listening to the man talk. And Frank's given me some time out of his day today. He's an extremely busy individual, and he's actually at work right now doing this show while he's working, so kudos to him. But Frank, welcome to the show. Frank's a journalist and has some incredible information I'm going to get him to share here in the next hour with our listeners. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Thank you for the warm welcome, sir. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, so you know what, I'm really kind of, Frank, I've been watching what's going on in the government here in the last couple of months, and I'm really overwhelmed with the amount of legislation they're bringing out and the implications of some of the legislation. I've looked at Bill C-75. I talked in the first hour. I'm only going to share this with you for a minute, but Frank, I punched up that list that you posted on that video. I got a copy of it, and I made copies of that and handed it out in public. And the reaction I got from the public was unbelievable, that people had no idea that the government was in the process of reducing sentences on some of the most heinous crimes in Canada. So it was a real hands-on experience. But it was hands-on this week. We're looking for things. This was, you know, I'm always looking for ways, before I get into your conversation, I'm always looking for ways to reach
and get them
aware. And that list, when I vetted it myself, I actually took the list. Listen, Frank, I took it up to the college, and one of their legal students cross-referenced everything to make sure it was true. And everything on that list was 100% accurate. So I punched it up down at Staples, and I put a notice on the top of the page with three sites they could go to cross-reference themselves. I said, everything on this list is factual. And I punched out all the changes, and I handed it out to people. I handed out 500 of them. I said, here, have a look at this. What do you think of the government? And left them. And the response has been overwhelming, buddy. So hands on. Go ahead, Frank. I'm going to stop talking. But it's something I experienced this week that was really effective. Go ahead, buddy. I want you to tell people what you're doing, what you've been doing in the last little while, what you're doing on your sites, and what's really picking your butt the most right now of all the things that are picking your butt.
Well, if I had to tell you what was picking my butt today, I actually had to go to get an e-test. I don't know if you have that out there, but we have that here in Ontario where I am.
Right.
And I'm sitting in the waiting room, and CTV News is on. And this is a huge thing. Whenever I have to sit in the waiting room, I watch what's on TV, and it's always one of these 24-hour news stations. And it was the 3 o'clock hour, and they were announcing their coverage. So in a 30-minute segment, that's how long I was in that waiting room, in a 30-minute segment, 7 minutes was dedicated to bashing Donald Trump. About 6 minutes was dedicated to the 420 protests across the country. They didn't even show any footage of the protests. It was pathetic. Then it was the Liberal Party convention. And the fourth thing they covered was so fluffy that I don't even remember what it was. So that was a half hour of their top coverage. C-71 wasn't in there. C-75 wasn't in there. They're not telling you what your government's doing. They're not telling you about these laws that they're trying to pass, cram down people's throats. The electorate isn't being educated by the Fifth Estate, and as much as I can, I'm trying to rectify that. I have my own time, my own expense, and I'm not complaining about that, but I think more and more people have to get literate and then try and spread the message like you did. I mean, I applaud you for taking that list. I'm actually working on acquiring the actual Library of Parliament document that has a side-by-side on beautiful, beautiful taxpayer-funded paper. You've never seen paper like it. It's so glossy and beautiful, and they'll send it to everybody, but it actually has the side by side, and I want to do a video on that because this is pretty heavy duty stuff. We're not talking lightweight stuff, and people have no idea that this is coming down the pipe at them, and I think that is just, it's appalling. We have Global, we have CTV, we have Sun, we have Globe and Mail, Post Media Group. I haven't seen very much coverage at all about C-75, and worse yet, because I'm not a partisan guy, I don't like the government, but what I really don't like is seeing a total lack of leadership from the Conservative Party of Canada to tell people that this stuff is going on. They should be right out front. They're always calling me looking for money, and they should be right out front with this, and they're not. I've told the people who keep calling every couple of weeks looking for money, and I said, I want Andrew Scheer out there talking about these bills. And you know, get away from the focus groups and just start talking about what's really going on. And she says, oh, yeah, I know. We're concerned about the Atwal affair. And I'm thinking to myself, the Atwal affair is the least of the problems the electorate has in Canada right now. The least. And it's the safe zone. It's the safe bet. It's what they're talking about. And it's like, you know, I'm one guy. You're one guy. You handed out 500 copies of that. You woke people up. I'm one guy with a YouTube channel. Andrew Scheer is the leader of the opposition. He can call a press conference anytime he wants. He can go on Facebook Live. You know, I get a video once in a while that'll get 100,000, 200,000 views on Facebook. That guy could do it every single day. Wouldn't cost him a dime. And it's not happening. It's all safe zone stuff. So, I mean, how in the heck are we supposed to wake up people if our own opposition isn't telling the truth? It's not even not telling the truth. They're omitting the truth. They're not giving us the information. C-75 is an attack on criminal justice. And that's the end of the story. I mean, these are the most, like you said, the most heinous crimes. They're opening the door for lighter sentencing and kicking people out. And we still have mandatory minimums for a bunch of stupid crimes. They're not increasing penalties on things like pedophilia, which is a pet peeve of mine. These people get, you know, they hurt your kids and they get a slap on the wrist. So anyway, That's my opening rant. I guess I should let you talk here.
You know what, Frank? Honest to God, I could let you go for the whole hour, buddy, because I watch your video and you really nail it. But you know what I would appreciate? Just let's hit on Bill C-75 for a minute. And if you could, let's hit on some of the things that they've reduced sentences on. And I know you've got that list memorized. So maybe you could run down that list just to give people an idea about what we're talking about here, because it is atrocious. Could you do that for us?
Well, just a couple instances. If you kill an infant and you hide the body, they're going to allow for summary convictions for that from now on, and they've got a lesser sentence. They actually have a direct lesser sentence in there. It's a gender sentencing thing, where if you're a woman and you kill your kid, you get a lesser sentence than if you're a guy. But they're opening that up, if you hide the body, to summary conviction only, which means you could walk away with a small fine and no jail time for killing and hiding a child. That's really weird stuff. Recruiting a minor into organized crime. So if you're a gang in Toronto, and Toronto's had some problems with gangs, not legal gun owners, gangs, if you recruit into one of those gangs a minor, well, you can look forward to a lesser sentence if you get caught in our criminal justice system, because the Trudeau government saw fit to reduce that. Another thing is smuggling illegal firearms across at a time when the Trudeau government's talking about being tough on crime, tough on gang violence, tough on gun violence, tough on all this stuff, all this stupid rhetoric, they're actually reducing sentencing if you smuggle something across the border. Like, you can't make this stuff up. And it, like you said, with that list, man, it goes on and on and on. Yeah. And they're not, you know, and they do it in the name of efficiency. And efficiency means we're going to turn these people loose. It's a travesty. And the real travesty is it's just not being covered. But thank you for giving it some attention, because it needs it.
It had, believe it or not, I had a conversation with a gentleman this morning in the coffee shop, and he took that list home, because he kind of just shook his head when I handed it to him. And he actually went on the computer 2 hours himself. Believe it or not, you know, this gentleman, for the last couple of years, anytime I've talked about any kind of corruption in government, he's kind of pushed back against me that, you know, you got to make taxes, build roads, the government. So, you know, there's a little bit, but
he changed his
tune today, Frank. He was appalled. And he just, you know, when people look at it, then we have to put the idea, we have to put the question in their mind, what is behind these changes? And if you look at them and you kind of really look at the gist of all the changes, and I did, they all seem to be, maybe I'm wrong in thinking this, but a lot of people shared this opinion, they seem to be focusing on one sector of our society. Am I correct in saying that? And that'd be people that would perpetrate these crimes more than normal Canadians. I'm not being racist or outside of the line, but I see a lot of these crimes that have had sentences reduced directly relating to terrorist activities.
Well, that's a huge part of it too. If you're aiding and abetting and planning a commission of a terrorist act, the sentencing is reduced. The Canadian government ordered the RCMP. We collect intelligence, or at least we did, on people who are crossing the border, and they had intelligence on some 5,000 people, and I think they're of a particular religious proclivity, and they were trying to find out, what was the likelihood that they might commit crime. And so the RCMP gathered up all this data. I'm not a big, big, huge fan of the RCMP, but they had it, and the government ordered it destroyed. And they don't. They want to make sure that immigration in this country requires no, there's no requirement for assimilation, or that it doesn't say that the buzzword is discriminate against any particular group. But the fact is, our immigration system, in my opinion, should be discriminatory, in that we should only be allowing anybody who wants to, who applies, can come in. But they have to share a certain modicum of a desire to assimilate to our culture, and we don't do that. So we're not actually vetting anything. And what we're seeing is, and this is the dangerous truth that nobody wants to utter, they're blaming legal rural gun owners for a rise in crime that nobody can point any evidence to. But meanwhile, it's the city centers where a lot of this unfiltered immigration is ending up. That's where the crime is starting to crop up. And so we're getting more and more crime, which in turn clogs up the legal system. And so they're proposing C-75 as a way to free up the clogs in the system. And there's other mechanisms in the bill that actually it's going to lead to more. Like the elimination of preliminary hearings is going to create more backlog than anything that bill might save by turning criminals loose back in the streets.
But the bottom line is they don't seem to want to address the actual causes. Now, it's not just any one cause. It's also there's social issues. There's social issues inherent to life in a welfare state, dependency, where people have unending entitlements, especially new people in the door have all these entitlements, but there's absolutely no requirement going the other way for whether it's assimilation or services rendered or whatever, because we call that discrimination. We call actually asking people what their intentions are a discriminatory process. This is a colorblind thing. Anybody from anywhere who wants to come into the country and wants to be part of the country should be trying to adopt the culture of the country they're coming to. But like, I know a lot of immigrants, and they're hardworking people, and they came to Canada to escape what they came from. And unfortunately, the government isn't building in any of those principles to how they screen immigrants. There's no screening. There's no. We have these asylum seekers coming across the border from the United States. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they're coming from. They're not fleeing a war zone. I went and covered them myself in that Cornwall video. I don't know if you saw that one.
I saw
But
that.
You got people with watches, iPhones, they're in suits, and nothing against them. I mean, if I was in their shoes, I might be doing the same thing. But our virtue signaler-in-chief, with his one stupid tweet, all of a sudden you have this flood of border jumpers, and the government doesn't want to track them, doesn't want to tell you how many there are, doesn't want to tell you what the cost is to the taxpayer. And it's all because they're pushing this agenda, this factless agenda, which is it's government by virtue signaling, and it's horrible. It's horrible. It's backwards.
The bottom line is the destruction of our country, Frank. Period. And there's no other way to really say it at this particular point. Everything that this government's doing is either undermining our culture or undermining our social systems. It's undermining our financial systems. It's undermining our economy. I see nothing that this government is doing beneficial for Canadians. We now look at a balanced budget, in 2046? And that's a modest...
It's never going to happen under these...
It'll never happen. We'll never see a balanced budget. It's not designed to balance, Frank. It's eventually designed to collapse. But that's a deep rabbit hole to get into. But that's what I see happening in our economies. I study economies worldwide. I see how we're set up on a bubble right now, and it wouldn't take much to make that bubble explode, especially in light of the fact that the people control this, the economies are the guys behind the curtains. The same guys responsible for 9/11 are the ones that control our economy. They can pop it anytime they want. So that would be a serious issue in society, and I look at that as a mechanism to bring us under control. That might sound a little far-fetched, but it's a very real possibility right now in view of what I see in world markets. So we're looking at multiple things this government can do to bring the Canadian people in line. What I see right now is nothing but acts of treason against the Canadian people. There's nothing I've seen, like I said, makes any rationale inside this government at all. I see an ideology. I see support of one sector of society, and that's it, period.
Well, that's
a little bit of a rant. It might sound a little bit radical, but that's the way I see it, Frank.
Well, and I think it's even worse than the political scene. Obviously, the judiciary itself has been stacked with people who have no respect for the Canadian Constitution. That latest decision that basically affirmed that provinces can control what goods travel between province, when it's clear in the Constitution that the federal government, the provincial governments have no jurisdiction, that all goods should flow freely between provinces. We're negotiating these one-sided free trade deals with other nations, but you can't trade your beer between New Brunswick and Quebec. It's insane, and it's that the Constitution couldn't be clearer, and yet we have the judiciary making a decision which absolutely countervails the Constitution. So it's, the Charter and the Constitution right now have no value to the establishment. So when you say that it looks like a plan to destroy our country, and this is the other thing, the safe thing to say is that it's just raw incompetence. But incompetence doesn't explain something that looks so thoroughly plotted and planned. I mean, you couldn't create a better set of conditions to destroy the fabric of your society. And that's what they're up to. And I haven't given up hope that we can't turn the tide back. But, I don't see any leadership right now, on a federal level anyway. I think there's rays of hope on the provincial levels, but at the federal level, we need something brave and bold, and I'm not seeing it yet.
No, neither am I. I'm seeing other parties rise, and some of the things they're saying really resonate with me, but I'm not seeing the attention that I think some of them deserve at this point. I don't know what the answer is, Frank. I really don't. I think until this whole scenario really starts to impact Canadians in a major way in their own life, a lot of Canadians will just sit back and, like I said before, will expect somebody else to take care of the problem. But I said earlier in the first hour there with Stephen, and we both agreed that, you know, we don't have 10 years to stem this. We don't. If we give this another 10 years in our country, Canada will look nothing like it did the country I grew up in. And how do we get that through to people, Frank? I mean, I think, honestly, if every Canadian right now knew the peril that our country is facing, then you'd see a rise. But unfortunately, a lot of Canadians, like I said earlier in the show, well, that's because, like I was going to say, a lot of Canadians are still depend on mainstream media for the source of information about what's going on in the world. And folks, you cannot depend on them for any source of truth at all. They're controlled by 8 families. All mainstream media is controlled by a very small group of people. Corporations and journalists, the same thing. They're all controlled by a very, very small group of people. So once you get past that and you start looking and listening to guys like Frank, who really is, I got a lot of respect for your journalism because you do the research, you'll get good information. Go ahead.
No, I appreciate that. And I don't precisely know what I'm doing. I just know I have to do something. And I've been sort of a political junkie my entire life, and you've seen a virtually unending sellout of Canada under any color of government going back 2 decades and likely longer. Let's just say 2 decades for the sake of argument right now. There's Harper looks a lot better in the rearview mirror, I'll tell you that. But mm-hmm. I even remember when he was in it, some of the things that I saw going on with China, the sellout of the country, and there were commitments made that didn't get delivered on, and it bothered me then. But I couldn't have imagined how out in the open the Liberal Party of Canada's contempt for our country and its heritage could be. I didn't think they would go quite this out in the open with it. And it's every day. It's every single day, and they have these willing accomplices in the media who aren't even covering government anymore. I mean, they're doing a terrible job, which is why I'm trying to do what I'm doing, and I'm trying to garner an audience. It's why I'm talking to you right now. It's why I'll talk to just about anybody at one point or another, you know, if I can make time for it. Because when people find out, it's hard for them to look away. And there's, in my opinion, like I went through the last Conservative Party leadership. I supported Max Bernier. I thought he was the best bet we had. And I watched that process is my point. And what I learned is that fewer than 150,000 Canadians, with less than half of that, voted in that leadership. If yep. less than the population of a small city like Oshawa in Ontario, 100,000 people got involved, well, guess what? You get to take over a political party. And it's yours, and you can do what you want with it. And we don't seem to realize just how much power we have. Any, we can do that. In my riding before, that's how the EDA gets taken over. Some active people took 5 or 6 guys, and they walked in and basically just took over the entire party in the riding. And if you had that happening across the country, all of a sudden different ideas become palatable. And the one thing I've learned about politics with the rise of Doug Ford here in Ontario is things change fast, real fast. Nobody here was happy with Patrick Brown. Sorry.
I'm going to ask you for your opinion on Doug Ford because I asked Stephen in the first hour, and I'm going to say what I think about him first. Sure. You know, I've said before, Frank, I have a hard time in my life believing politicians. I really do. We've been lied to so many times in our lives, but I have watched his videos, and I watch the way he interacts with people. And that, to me, speaks more about the man than any words that come out of his mouth. And I'm coming to the conclusion the guy's the real deal. And I hope he wins. That's all I can say. So I'm going to ask you your opinion on the man.
Well, sure. I've actually got 9 videos now. Yeah, I've talked to him a couple times, and I've got 9 videos now called Ford Nation number 1 through 9, where I go around and I cover them, and I try to show that difference that you're talking about right now, because there is a difference now. I don't follow any man. I like him. I like what he has to say. People complain. They're like, you know, the liberals are like, oh, where's his platform? I don't think it matters. His intentions are good. I know where he's going to go, and that's what I support. Patrick Brown was basically just going to give us liberal light. Ford's going to take us in a different direction, I think. And look, if he doesn't, we're no worse off. I'll throw him under the bus just as quick as I would anybody else because I want results. I want what people promise. He's talking about balanced budgets. He's talking about investigating these crooks that have occupied Toronto for the last 15 years, and that's what they are. They're out-and-out crooks. Some of them are in jail already. And they're, you know, they've... So the Conservative Party ruled in Ontario for 47 years. They're finally beaten by a premier by the name of Peterson. And after Peterson came an NDP government under a guy named Bob Rae. You might remember him from federal fame. Guy ruined the province. And we thought it couldn't get worse, but then it did, because they managed to do basically to Mike Harris what they did to Harper a little later on and paint him as this, awkward, uncaring, you know, whatever else you want to call it, got him out, and Uncle Dalty came in. And it's, I mean, the story of their corruption, I'm going to be putting out a documentary within, where are we now? It's April 22nd, so it's going to have to happen in the next week or two. Just maybe not a documentary, but it's going to be a little film, 2 or 3 hours long. I'm going to cover a history of Ontario, and hopefully people in Ontario will see it and understand just how critical this election is. There's not going to be another one. It's the same as, I hate to say it, I don't know how you, if we don't do something productive with 2019, the federal level, I don't know how we get to 2023 without, like you say, this country being completely and totally unrecognizable. Arguably, we're already there.
I hope we get to 2019, Frank.
I do too.
Well, you know, this government is capable of just about anything. We've got to keep that in mind. And we know that Trudeau's got his little ties in the United Nations. You know, he's got a ticket to the big party now. And, you know, he's doing exactly what George Soros tells him to do.
He doesn't go off script.
No. I mean, why did he have a two-hour closed-door meeting with George Soros in Davos with no reporter, nobody else but him and George? What did they talk about for 2 hours? What, tiddlywinks? Their children? George laid down his agenda for the next 2 years, and Trudeau's following it by the teeth.
Yep. We have a George Soros government. I said that when he got elected. Old videos now, or maybe articles, I couldn't tell you what. But Trudeau is the high watermark, or at least if we're going to turn it back, he might be the last guy elected under this SJW globalist moniker because, even his own base is starting to see how empty he is. Like, he's nothing but empty promises and rhetoric. Mm-hmm. He hasn't even delivered to his own base. And he doesn't say anything unless he clears it with these international financiers. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, it's... People can call it conspiracy or do whatever they want. They need to read more, man. It's
There's no conspiracy.
Pretty clear who you represent.
There's no conspiracy here at all. That's not.
No, it's conspiracy fact.
I mean, if you have common sense in your mind, if you consider yourself a common sense person, and if you just look at what Justin Trudeau has done in Canada in the last 2 years, and tell me that that isn't insanity, and if you don't see the outright attempt by this government to undermine our culture and our economy, our whole country is being destroyed, and it's coming from multiple levels through multiple different legislations, regulations. Look at Bill C-71. Look at Bill C-69. I mean, we haven't even talked about that yet. Just another barbaric bill. Why don't you talk about that one just for a couple of minutes and tell people what it's about. And can you hit on C-71? Because I've looked at it quite a bit, Frank. And I'll bounce that one off you, too, just to give people an idea.
Yeah, so just for the record, that's the bill about that's changing elections Canada, C-69.
Right.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's very clear what they want to do. Now, I come from... a little bit of my background, just, I volunteer and do a bunch of different stuff. One of the things that I do is anytime there's a federal election, I volunteer to work a polling station. And I'm hoping that as the years go by, I'll be able to work my way up the ranks and actually manage a whole riding. That's where I'm trying to get to, because I'm only interested in fair elections. And I can tell you, through my experience of seeing everything and butting my nose in anywhere I could put it, Trudeau won fair and square. You know, you can complain about turnout all you want. You can complain about this and that. That was his election. He won it. The country actually elected him. So whatever you say, it was fair. at the and while I was working, I never turned away a single person because of voter ID. We managed to get every single person to vote. Didn't matter what their background was, race, color, creed. I had them all. I was surprised in the little rural riding I was in.
Right.
We had people with identification problems. We managed to get them all to vote. They came in with their card. We got bills. We got proof of residence. Everybody voted. Not a problem. So when you remove identification requirements, when you have you have identification requirements to gamble, to buy booze, soon probably to buy marijuana, everything else, you can't vote. They're looking to change that. God help us. You have to have identification, but not to exercise your franchise. And I know if you've voted before, you've seen those little voter ID or voter registration cards they send out. Mm-hmm. It's the most doctorable fake looking document you can imagine. Without ID to back it up, it's valueless. Mm-hmm. Anybody can be printing these things off, and then they're going to create a mechanism whereby somebody can just vouch for you without identification, without any proof. So it's absolutely opening the door to massive amounts of illegal voting, and who's going to enforce it? Because that's what people say to me. They're like, oh, you know, it's illegal. It's already illegal. They'll do whatever. And I ask, who's going to enforce it? When was the last time somebody was charged for voting illegally in Canada? Find me the case. Mm. You can't, because it doesn't exist. And if the case already doesn't exist, and then you're going to create a situation where even more people can vote illegally, well, there's going to be no enforcement. So the inducement is to cram the polling stations with illegals. That's the only reason, illegal voters, that's the only reason they would do it. So it's disgusting. It's an attack on our democracy. And with C-71, like, this is the whole thing. C-71 is the government saying, we're getting tough on gun violence. You know, we're going to make sure that the streets are safe and everything else. So what they're doing is they're passing new regulations on people who have never committed crimes. 3 million gun owners in Canada, that's by estimates, with millions upon millions upon millions of guns, many of them massively high-caliber guns. They're not killing anybody. They're sitting in the closet. They're going to the range. They're being used to hunt. And none of these people, to possess your PAL, I've got mine, you can't have a criminal record. You have to submit to a mental health screening. All your doctor's records are able to be accessed by the RCMP. You have to submit a list of your conjugal partners going back 2 years. So God forbid you're 19 and in college. Good luck getting your gun license. There's going to be one sworn one in there somewhere. And it's and the screening is so thorough, and then you have to have references, and you have to go to a safety course. You got to do all this stuff. And then every single day for the rest of your life, your name is scanned into a database to see if you've been dealing with police in any way. You don't have to be charged. It's just, have you had an interdiction by police? And if you have, you can expect a call from the Canadian Firearms Office to ask you what you've been doing. So your charter rights are waived the instant you become a legal, lawful gun owner. So anyway, back to C-71. They're going to pass more rules that basically create a gun registry. They don't call it a registry, but that's exactly what it is. If you sell or acquire a firearm, it's going to be registered. And you have to carry more paperwork around with you. That's about it. That's all it does. And that's, you know, that's C-71 in a nutshell. And at the same time as they're saying they're trying to get tough on gang violence, which, by the way, gang violence, gang crime, none of those words appear in the bill C-71, but registrar appears dozens of times. Licensing appears dozens of times. So it's not about crime. At the same time as they're passing this assault on legal gun owners who aren't doing any violence, they're passing C-75, or they're going to try and pass C-75, which actually reduces sentencing for people who are committing illegal gun crime, people that don't have firearms licenses, people who don't care. They're shooting up the highway here in Ontario. There was two cars there a couple weeks ago going up the 401 firing 9mm at each other. You can't have a handgun, period, out on the road. I mean, that's already illegal. It's so illegal. I mean, I can't even tell you how many laws they broke. They don't care. And you're not addressing that. You're not going to fix that with C-71, and you're going to reduce sentencing on these people. And, of course, the media doesn't report it fully because it's not the right narrative, especially if it's a person of color or somebody with what they call an Asian background or whatever. They don't report it. They don't release the names anymore. They're not giving you any statistics to tell you where the crime's actually coming from. All they're doing is saying guns are bad and we're going to go after the licensees. And you know why they go after us? Because we'll comply. That's why. Because we're compliant. It's easy. We're easy targets, and that's all these virtue signaling hypocrites are interested in doing, is picking off easy targets.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, basically what they're creating is a backdoor gun registry. The end of game, of course, is to take guns away from Canadians, and that sounds extreme, but that's eventually where they'll be going with the implementation of the UN's small arms agreement that Trudeau has said that he wants to implement in Canada. So we see that coming in. We see all these new restrictions, and it's crazy.
If it wasn't for 2A in the United States, if it wasn't for the Second Amendment, we wouldn't have guns still. It's only our proximity to that country that has so far saved gun owners.
I didn't think I'd ever say it, but I hope the USA invades Canada and gets rid of Trudeau. Just come in, do a strike, and go home. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
I was only kidding, guys.
You're advocating for violence.
I was just joking. Anybody that's listening, I was just trying to be humorous.
Well, hey, look, you got even if you were advocating for terrorism, you're not going to get a tough sentence anymore because the Trudeau government's making sure you can do that more easily. So.
Yeah, I can marry a 13-year-old now and not have to worry about going to jail. Isn't that great? Let's go to Canada.
Yeah, man. Look at that privilege.
Yeah, and you walk in the door, and the government's giving us free housing. They give us, get a load of this, Frank. Now, have you vetted this? Because I vetted it 4 or 5 times. Apparently, immigrants get free dental. Am I correct in saying that? Because I've gone to three different stores. Are they getting free dental or not?
I think it depends on how they come in and under what program. I'm not 100% versed in that, but I know if you're an asylum seeker, for instance, you're getting care on the Canadian tax dollars dime. And if you're a refugee, it's the same thing, because instead of refugees being privately sponsored now by church groups, community groups and stuff being sponsored by individuals, so there's actually a responsibility, the government's now doing it, so there's zero responsibility. When the government's in charge, nobody's in charge. And those people are absolutely getting help. It's appalling because we do have a lot of issues here, right here in Canada, with our own indigent population, which is growing. Again, it's hard to get statistics, but you can look around and you can see, oh, man, I live by a little small town. There's only 15,000 people there in this one spot. I was walking down there the other day, and I got approached by 3 different panhandlers. I was only downtown for about 10 minutes, and I'm like, what is going on? This is Belleville, Ontario. What is happening here? This is something you see in Oshawa or Toronto. You don't see it, and you're starting to see it more and more out here. And we're not, you know, we can't fix those issues. We got people dying waiting for health care, and we're not dealing with that. But we're pouring more and more people into the country, and now they've changed the rules again so that somebody looking to apply can't be discriminated against based on disabilities that they've already suffered. So we're going to directly import liabilities. And one guy said, I don't mind paying a little bit more tax dollars to be humane to people and whatever else. And that's not the point. We don't have the tax dollars to spend. And even if we did, we already have people here that could really use that hand. All you're doing is pouring more and more liability into the country, and you're bankrupting the public system. There's just not enough tax dollars to go around anymore for all your little pet programs. And the government is horribly inefficient at doing the job anyway. Charities are way more efficient, good ones anyway. So instead, you're going to use the big gun in the room, which is government. We're going to extort money out of your pocket, and then we're going to give it to non-citizens, and we're going to do it mainly. We're going to finance it with borrowed dollars, and we're not even going to tell you how much it costs, Canada. We're just going to spend your money, and we're not even going to tell you what it costs.
You're not going to hear this on BBC.
No, you're not going to hear it anywhere. You're not going to hear it from us because you and I can't find out.
it's beyond lunacy, Frank, when a person that's never been in Canada in their life walks into our country and is treated far better than a Canadian citizen living in this country all their lives, is contributing to our economy, is treated. And I see it over and over and over again. And we're not even talking about the drain on our financial system. We are broke already. We do not have spent. And yet we see the government spending more and more, and millions of our tax dollars being frivolously spent. We're only talking about one issue here. We could go on multiple issues, Frank. And, you know, we could talk about UN contributions. We could talk about contributions to the Clinton Foundation. We could talk about contributions to Yemen or Saudi Arabia or all these countries around the world where billions and billions of dollars of our taxpayers' dollar has gone, having no benefit in any shape or form to Canada. None.
And so we're told we can't even ask about Canada anymore. We're told that it's politically incorrect to worry about Canada. It's racist to worry about culture. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're right on. Go ahead. It's just another aspect of undermining of our society, Frank.
We're the only society. These idiots, they talk about, pardon me, these people talk about the diverse society. Diversity is our strength. Diversity this, diversity that. They throw around these buzzwords. And I'm not against anybody. I got Hindu friends. I got Muslim friends. I've got Orthodox friends. I got Protestant friends. I got Catholic friends. I'm stuck somewhere. So I don't know where I am. But like they're all people, right? But they talk about this diversity stuff. There's no place in Europe for cultural cohesion. Or in the West for cultural cohesion. This is the melting pot, and that's what we're told. No other country, though, outside of the West is doing it. China is Chinese. Japan is Japanese. The Arab world is Arabic. The Saudis won't take Syrian refugees, even though they got all these camps and everything, because I guess it's okay for every other culture in the world to look after itself. But our culture, which is, in many ways, it's ethnically diverse and always, it always has been in some way, but we're not allowed to look after it. We're not allowed to talk about our Anglo-Saxon heritage because that's racist. We're not allowed to talk about our common law heritage because that's racist. I mean, they're going to come for Quebec eventually, and this is the big one I'm waiting for. Quebec is the only culturally cohesive society still in Canada that's allowed to – they're basically allowed to have their own language laws, their own culture laws, their own this, that, and the other thing. And I'm not saying they shouldn't be allowed to have that in a certain way and look after themselves, but it's going to be very soon that the diversity cops and the diversity pushers come for Quebec. Because it's a bastion, and that seems to be what they do. But there's no reciprocal demand on other nations and other cultures on Earth to adopt our practices or take us in, take our people, take the South African farmer that's being killed. I mean, there's a genocide going on in South Africa, and nobody cares because the skin color is wrong. And it's racist.
That's the agenda.
It's racist to the max.
The hypocrisy runs absolutely wild.
Yeah,
and you know when does. They start pissed, I'll tell you something, Frank. When they start really pissing some of these Quebec boys off, you're going to see a great pushback. Because the one thing I do know
sure
about Canadian people is they're proud of their culture, they're proud of their past, and they're people that don't take any crap. So you're going to see some major things. They just banned burqas, correct, in Quebec? Burqas and hijabs in public.
Like that,
yeah.
I don't
know. No, it's now a law in Quebec that no burqa or hijab can be worn in public. Kudos to him. Kudos. We're going to see that.
See, they get away with it so far. You know, like they can do that. Whereas if you and I talk about something like that, and like, you know, as long as nobody's forcing you and you're obeying the laws of the land, I don't care what you put on your head. Wear a friggin', you know, one of them beanie hats that's got the little flywheel on the top of it and look like a moron. Like, go ahead. But, you know, as long as you're not forced, you know, I don't care. But the fact is, if you're, you know, if you're just your typical average Canadian, if you're, for instance, if you're a Pakistani Christian, I know this family down in Hamilton, actually, and they're Pakistani Christians. They're, you know, one of the few people that, like, you know, people don't even know there's a Christian culture in Pakistan, and it's under complete assault. People are killing them, and nobody cares again because it's the wrong religion, right?
Right.
Right color of skin, but wrong religion, so it doesn't fit with the political narrative. So these people are out there. They're on Twitter. They're community activists. They're trying to raise awareness about their plight, but also just do community work. I mean, you got them making croissants, handing them out in the streets, and you know these are really good people. But the media doesn't care about them, and the political class doesn't care about them because they're just not useful. So, you know, yeah, they're minorities, but as far as the political class goes, they might as well be whites. Because, you know, again, whites are the only people that aren't allowed to have a voice. And I hate to do it that way, but because it's not even just, it's not a race thing. It's the cultural thing. It's that Western Christian heritage. And I'm not necessarily a Christian myself. I'm inspired by it. But, you know, I'm pretty on the fence about where I fit because God gave me this rational mind and it doesn't allow me to swallow anything 100% for some reason. But like if you're a church, say, and you're getting spray painted, and people are graffitiing your church. Nobody cares. There was a fake attack on a on a Muslim student, I can't remember, somewhere, I think it was Toronto or Hamilton, and Trudeau made a statement, and it was this big hoopla, and it turned out the whole thing was fake. They made it up.
Yeah.
But on Easter,
he made it in 40 minutes.
But on Easter,
40 minutes. Yeah, go ahead.
And but yeah, exactly. And on Easter, there was actual real desecration of churches, and there's actual real desecration of synagogues. Nobody cares because it's not useful. Doesn't sell the story. It's not. It doesn't sell diversity. Doesn't sell the narrative. So those people are just left to suffer, and nobody cares. And that's why I tell people the number one thing is this government doesn't care about you. They'll tell you they care all day, every single day, but they don't, and they never have. And that's it, because they show you. If they cared, they'd care about everybody equally. All they care about is people who sell their narrative. And it's shameful.
It is shameful, Frank. And there's an old saying, actions speak louder than words. And all people really have to do is look at the actions of the government. And their words will drown in the pool of lies, because there is nothing ever truthful coming out of a government. I came to that conclusion quite a few years ago. And unfortunately, a bit of our society is still in that mystique. And I see that veil coming up, buddy. I watch your views on your YouTube videos, and I watch views on multi-levels of conservative groups in Canada, and I see them going up every day. I see publications like the Post-Millennial, a group that I'm involved with. Their audiences are just exploding. So we are seeing Canadians wake up. We are.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
We don't have a lot of time, though, Frank. We don't have a lot of time.
No.
And I don't want to be negative about that. I don't want to be a doomsdayer, but I'm speaking honestly that I honestly feel we don't have a lot of time. Go ahead.
Well, there's some things that we can't turn back the clock on now, because we're already here. So it's from here forward that we can do something about. And there's still a lot about this country that's worth latching onto and trying to hang on to. But you're right. We don't have an abundance of time anymore. The one thing I think we do have, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, is I have a lot more faith in the youth than I might have had a year ago. I was visiting with a friend of mine. He's got a 10-year-old girl, and it was around Christmas time, and the 10-year-old's playing Super Mario Brothers, like old school gaming, right? And she's jumping around. I don't know if you know Super Mario, but there's turtles and there's Goombas, and you got to jump on them and whatever. So she's jumping around, and she's not jumping on anything. She's missing everything. And I'm watching her play, and she's getting frustrated. I said, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm playing pacifist Mario. I don't want to be aggressive, you know. Like I want to, this is. I'm doing SJW Mario." And she starts like ripping and riffing on like this whole social justice paradigm stuff. And she's like mocking what she's doing. And then, so we got playing, we're beating each other up with lightsabers. And here's this 10-year-old girl. And she's joking around about, you know, you got to be careful. You don't want to gender your lightsaber because somebody will get offended and whatever. And I'm thinking, you're 10, you're 10 and you're sharp. And then, so later on,
I want her name, Frank.
Later on,
I want her name. I want to interview her.
I got to talk to her first, but later on, and this is the final point later on. She's on the computer and she's playing, I don't know what the hell she was doing, but she's playing. And I walk up and I look at her screen and there's all these other kids running around in this virtual room and they're all dressed up like Donald Trump. There's like 30 kids. They're all running around and they're all quoting Donald Trump and they're just being monkeys. I mean, they're having a blast, but they're mentally in a different place than I think what the paradigm would have them be. They're getting wise to it. They're getting sick of it. Because the one thing you can always count on kids to do is rebel, even if it's against their own interest. But I think this time, it's in the interest of everybody that they wake up before they become fully indoctrinated. Because the schools, you know, a lot of what's going on in the school system is social justice education. They're not doing math. They're not teaching them history. They're not teaching them civic duty. They're teaching them liberal activism. And it's disgusting. And you're paying for it with your tax dollars.
And a lot of parents aren't fully aware of what's going on in our school systems. That's changing, though, too, Frank. I see large movements against SOGI 123 in British Columbia here. And the Ontario, of course, there was massive outcry against the Kathleen Wynne sex education program in Ontario. But, of course, the government didn't listen to the public at all. But hopefully that changes.
No, but Doug Ford is.
Yeah, I hope that changes under Doug Ford. I really do. I hope that he actually listened to the people in Ontario. Like it is. It's absolutely disgusting. I looked at that. When I first looked at that program, Frank, I really, at that point, that was kind of a wake-up call. I'd looked at the core programs in the United States of America, and I followed that, but that was really a wake-up call just how far our society has slid and what we've allowed to go on.
Yeah.
I urge parents to actively get involved with what your school, what's going on at your schools. Ask your children what they're being taught and see if you agree with it, because we still have a voice as parents. That won't be there much longer, because if we give it up to the government, we lose our children. Go ahead, Frank.
No, that's it. I mean, and people are aware, and Doug Ford is a pushback against that. Like, if there's one thing I know he's going to do, that sex ed curriculum's gone, and so it should be. I want to swear, my friend, because it's disgusting. It's horrible. It's written. They say that it's only a talking point that it was written by a pedophile. It was. It was overseen by a pedophile, and that's the end of the story. We got the emails. We got the emails. We know it. We got the emails he wrote saying he was in charge. We got it all. We got Trudeau sitting right beside this guy. And then we got Trudeau with another pedophile. There was a picture earlier this week. Posing with another one. What a poor judge of character. And the media just gives him a pass. I mean, he's holding terrorist babies and everything else, and the media just gives him a pass.
Yeah, he's surrounding himself with the most heinous people in the world, and it's being propagated by the media. It's just, it's crazy, man. You're talking about Levine, who laid down the sex education program in Ontario.
That's right, yeah. He's free. Convicted. He's out there now.
Yeah, he's on
he's the out there now. He's free again.
Yeah, I heard that the other
Dumb.
Day. Yeah, yeah. And he's involved.
Dumb, I hope he's listening.
Oh, man.
These people make me sick, and I never knew. I was lucky. I was one of the fortunate people who was never... I was never abused, you know. I never had to deal with being raped or touched or anything indecent. I never even came close to it. But I've lived enough of my life. I'm 37 years old. I've met a lot of people. And I know more victims of sex assault when they were kids than I care to. It rips my heart out to know what some people went through, to know the kinds of grooming that is commonplace, that the things these people would do with their parents sitting in the other room, parents not even being aware of the abuse because they had so manipulated the child into thinking it was okay and it was their duty to sexually serve these sickos. And if you've watched any of my videos, you know I feel that capital punishment or castration should be the first order of punishment for these people. I have no tolerance at all. The taxpayer shouldn't be on the hook for housing them, but they sure as hell, they sure as heck should not be getting out of jail in 2 years. This guy, this Ben Levine guy, he raped his daughters. I think there's three of them. And then he worked to groom them. Yeah, and then he worked to groom them, to groom their kids for his further sick pleasure. He went to his daughters and he said, I want your kids. 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. What a joke. Get your blood boiling, folks. And you know what, Frank? When I first looked at Bill C-89, I was appalled. But then I'm not, because I see the mechanisms working on our society. And I am a Christian, Frank, and I don't call it anything else more but that evil from the depths of hell is what's happening to our children. None of this is beneficial to the moral. The moral structure of our child is under attack in ways that I never thought I would see in my lifetime. What's going on in our schools, it tears me to pieces. I want my child to experience innocence until the time they reach puberty, till the time when sex actually becomes an object of their attention. Until that time, let them be children. Don't teach them they can be a tree. Don't teach Johnny he can be a girl. Don't put this confusion in their mind. Add a little Ritalin. Feed them bullcrap food. Vaccinate the heck out of them and wonder why our kids are in such a state of disarray. Why our society is in such a disarray. I demand parents become responsible and be responsible for what's happening to your children. Take the insert out of the vaccine and read it and find out what they're putting into your children. All this stuff, Frank, it tears me apart. I see children walking in shopping malls and I'll start crying because I think of what's going on and what's coming to them. That's what I got to say about that, buddy. It's the depths of hell that puts this shit in our society. I have no other way of explaining it, period. Go ahead. Sorry for my rant.
God bless you, sir. It's It's absolutely it's sickening. It's disgusting. There's no more fundamental thing that you can attack in a culture and a society than the children. And you're right in saying that there's things now that are commonplace that I wouldn't have imagined possible. Teaching kids in grade three about anal penetration and oral sex. Teaching kids at the age of eight that they're gender fluid. 8 years old, man. Mm-hmm. I was running through the woods with my buddies playing guns. That's what we were doing, and the girls were playing Barbies, and it was wonderful. Now they got them thinking about sex changes. Like, what? It's disgusting. And why is it necessary? Who asked for it? And that's what Ontarians are asking right now. When the sex ed curriculum passed, the outrage was universal, and the government just lied. They said, we did consult. They didn't consult.
They said,
we cared. They didn't care. And we're going to beat it, man. We're going to beat it. We're that one's gone. I mean, I'll burn Doug Ford's political house down if he doesn't get that one done. But he's going to. It's. I don't need to say that because I have absolute faith that that's going to change. It's gone too far.
Frank, your heart right now is touching me, and I know it's touching other people. And we're talking right now from the bottom of our hearts that we see stuff going on right now that just absolutely drives us nuts. And we wonder why some days the rest of society can't join us in this unbelievable attack and standing up against it. And, I think people are really starting to listen, and all we can do right now, brother, no matter what else we do, we have to open our hearts up to people, because we've lost that in society. It has been taken away from us. We don't communicate anymore. We live in a viral world. We're in a sheltered little bubble that we think is going to be there forever, but it's not. When the bubble bursts, most people have no idea what to do with the chaos that's going to come into their minds. No idea at all. So I'm saying to people right now that you really, if you have a heart and you love your children, and I'm saying this, I don't know how else to say this to people, if you truly can sit there and say you love your children, you love them, then you must look at what's going on and you must stand against it. I don't know how else to say that.
No, I think you're right on, and I think the issue too is people, and I'm not trying to absolve people of their own responsibility for being informed citizens, because that's a huge part of it. People choose to. I like hockey. I'm a huge hockey fan, but it's not my entire life. And when I say that, I'm a hockey fan from all levels. I like the kids, and I like the NHL and everything else. But, I mean, that's not my entire life. That's one of my retreats. I don't spend the weekend getting drunk off my face every single weekend. I read things. I learn things. I try to be an informed, literate citizen and do the best that I can to contribute to hopefully making it a little bit better. And I don't want to absolve people of the responsibility of choosing to take some of their time and do just that instead of video games or movies and everything else, to actually care, because people are they're willingly choosing to avoid educating themselves. They just don't take the time, or they think they're powerless. And you've never been more powerful than you are right now. The world is interconnected. If you want to reach out and touch somebody, man, you can do it. And I've done it. Like, I'm little old me. And I take phone calls from people now that I would have never guessed I would take phone calls from, just to talk about policy and stuff. And, I'm talking to people who are running for nomination in ridings and out in Manitoba, out in BC and Alberta. I get calls from shadow ministers at sometimes, like, and this is, I'm not bragging. I'm saying I am just some mug who grows garlic in Southern Ontario.
Right. People are reaching out, Frank. People are reaching out.
You can do it too. But on the flip side, people have a responsibility to do that. But on the other side, I've created a life where I have a little bit of time and space. Like, I've removed myself from popular culture. I haven't really watched TV in 15 years. Whatever I need, I get off the internet or YouTube, or that's where I get my news. I'm immune. So when I tune in and watch, which I sometimes do, I see what people are being infected with. So it's, I don't want to absolve them of their responsibility, but at the same time, they're under assault by a disinformation campaign that is Joseph Goebbels. It's a dream come true for somebody like him. This is propaganda at every single level. Is manipulation of how people think, how they spend their time. And it's not even just, it's the manipulation is the underlying, they manipulate the underlying fabric of how people formulate thought, that the actual process of thinking is manipulated. It's not just the thought itself, it's how you think. It's how you address things. So that's the other side of it, is that people are also under assault, and they increasingly have more less and less time and less money and resources to throw around, right?
Well, of course, and so couple other factors there, of course, the health of our society and what people are doing to their bodies, what we're eating.
Yeah.
These things are all, you know, it sounds crazy, but everything, you know, Frank, that we see right now in our world, we could talk about health, we could talk about pharmaceutical, we could talk about the geoengineering that's going on our planet. But anything we talk about, there is nothing constructive to the human race. And then, of course, we could factor into the equation that we're watching the planet die right now. I'm sitting here some days banging my head against the wall, but in the same mouthful, I know we're starting to make inroads, and this is the time that we really have to put the hammer down. And I praise you for what you're doing, sir. We're down to the last couple of minutes of this show, so I'm going to let you share your contact information with people where they can find you, and I'll close out the show for the week, Frank. But it's been a real pleasure. And great conversation with you, my friend. Thanks for coming.
Well, thanks, Barry. No, you know, it's not a problem, and I appreciate it. And anytime, you know, provided I get back to you in a more timely fashion, I'm here to do it. For me, you know, one of the things we need to start doing, I think, is doing things in our name, not being afraid of putting our names out there. So in light of that, you know, people sometimes say that I've done what I've done and it's all about me because I put it in my name. It's not about that. It's about accountability, and it's about making it so you can find me. So if you're looking for me, all you have to do is search my name, Frank Vaughn, V-A-U-G-H-A-N. And my website is frankvaughn.ca. And my YouTube channel is cleverly named Frank Vaughn or some variation of that. And if you want to look for me on Facebook, look up FPV, which is my initials, or Frank Vaughn. I'm pretty easy to find, and I'm a little busy right now, but I'm usually willing to talk to anybody, and I try to produce as much content as possible, and as time goes by, you know, I'm always trying to get better, and if you have feedback or you have anything you'd like me to cover, I'd love to hear about it. If there's events coming up, keep me informed. I can't promise I'll get back to you because I get a lot of messages, but I'll try. And if you don't like what I'm doing, do your own thing, man. I'll support you because that's what we need. We need, it's not about me. It's about getting the ideas out there. It's about putting yourself out there. It's about saying things that are difficult. It's about speaking difficult truth. And because no one else is going to do it, we have to do it. And that's about my spiel right there. I want everybody to get involved.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing I did in my life, Frank, and it took me until about 3 years ago, was throw my TV out the door. And that was the best thing I've ever done in my life. So there's a good tip for you today, guys. You know, we've gone full spectrum today. I know we've been talking about Canadian politics today. Pretty well exclusively, but it doesn't matter where we look in the world, we're seeing the same agenda being played out in multiple levels all over the planet. So we're in a fight, and it's a fight for the real, for the humanity, for the future of humanity. Whatever is going to come is going to come, but it's our responsibility right now to do what we can to stem the flow. So I want to thank Frank again for joining me, and Stephen Myatt, the first hour, great conversation from a young man. And Frank, I'm going to get you back on again in a couple of weeks, I hope, if you'll give me another hour of your time, and we'll continue this conversation because I've enjoyed it immensely today.